rest of you, if you have your Bible or a Bible app, let's go to Amos chapter 9. Amos. Yep, that's actually in the Bible. I know some of you are wondering, have you ever heard this one before? It is. It's one of those little books. It's considered one of the minor prophets, not because it's less important, just because it's a smaller prophecy. And so Amos, if you see Joel, it's right after that. If you see Obadiah, it's right before that. It's those little bitty ones. If you have a Bible app, it's super easy to find it, because then you just click on Amos and it takes you to it. Amos chapter 9, we're going to talk about a powerful restoration. And let's just read the scripture and then we'll talk about it. Okay, Amos chapter 9. And we're going to start at verse 11. Would you please stand as I read? You can follow along. This is God speaking, and he says, "In that day I will restore David's fallen tent. I will repair its broken places, restore its ruins, and build it as it used to be, so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman, and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. I will bring back my exiled people Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God." All right, you may be seated. Now, this is primarily a prophecy about Israel, clearly, since God is speaking about Israel. And I believe Israel is still God's chosen people, and he still has plans for them. Okay? However, I also believe this prophetic word can be applied to us today. In fact, I told Naomi today, I think that this is a prophetic word for our church as I speak. So I just want you to be open to hear what God wants to say. I believe there are some things that might just grab you personally. I think there's some things here that apply to our church as a whole. And so let's just really listen to see what God might say. Whether I use all the right words or not, God can speak to your heart. Okay? Now, there are seasons in everyone's life. And there are seasons in a church's life. There are times when the enemy gets the upper hand, but it's only temporary. There are times when we aren't walking as closely with God as we should, but hopefully it's only temporary. And there are times in his ultimate wisdom that God limits his activity in individuals and in the church, but it's only temporary. God has a plan for restoration. So far, can I get a witness about the seasons in your life and seasons in a church that there are times when just God is working powerfully and there's evidence everywhere and you're feeling it, and then there's other times it's like, you know, I know God is with me because that's what he says, but I'm not feeling it. And maybe I'm the only one that feels that way. Okay, all right, so we all are on the same page. But the good news is those, if you want to call them winter seasons, are temporary. That's good news. And God has made a promise. He starts off here in verse 11, and he says, "In that day, there is a future that God has promised. He promised the nation of Israel that he would restore them to their land. And after centuries of being in exile, Israel became a nation again in 1948. God's promises come true. And God has a promise for all of us. And he says here, first thing he says is, "I will restore." And this is God's promise. And notice who is doing the work of restoration. God is. God says, "I will restore." And then then he elaborates, I will restore David's fallen tent. And David's fallen tent really conjures up a variety of thoughts. The first one about David is, of course, he was a man after God's own heart. That's what he's probably best known for. He loved the Lord wholeheartedly, and he served him with zeal. And for many of us in this room, it's the same. We have served the Lord, we've loved the Lord, and perhaps that zeal, though, has waned over the years. God wants to restore us to a heart that's after his very own, just like David's. Also with David, he led the Israelite kingdom while it was still unified. It was after his son Solomon ruled that then after him, the kingdom became divided. And if you know your Old Testament, there's Israel and Judah. But under David, it was all united. It was one kingdom. And for some here, there has been division between you and other believers. And that is not God's desire. God wants his people to be unified. And he will work in us to bring unity to all believers. In fact, that was the theme of Jesus' prayer in John 17. He prayed for the unity of believers. And God has a plan and a promise to bring unity to his people. Okay. All right. More about David. Okay. David also expanded the kingdom while he was in charge. He was the conquering king, okay? And God's plan and desire has always been for his people and his kingdom to increase. That is God's plan. That's what God wants. Now, here in America, it seems that the church has lost momentum and our influence for God's kingdom has decreased. That seems to be what has happened in America. But God wants to restore us to a place of influence to expand his kingdom. That is what God wants. This was also a personal promise for Open Bible Church here in Boone when God supernaturally highlighted Isaiah 54 for us. Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 says, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. God gave us that word personally for Open Bible Church here in Boone years ago. You remember? Some of you were here. You remember. That word came clearly that that's what God has for us. He wants to expand his kingdom. He wants to expand Open Bible Church. And then, about David, I will restore David's fallen tent. That probably also refers to the temporary tabernacle that David built for the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, not Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, it had been kind of out in the wilderness for a while. He wanted to bring it back, but the Lord had said, no, your son Solomon will build me a temple. But David then threw up a tent, and he still had the Ark of the Covenant there nearby. And in that temporary temple, that tabernacle that David created, his fallen, or it wasn't fallen at the time, but the tent that he had, there was nonstop worship of God. David arranged it so that there would be people worshiping God 24 hours a day. And the tent was open and visible. And so people in the area could see the priests doing their thing, and they could see the presence of God. Isn't that a spectacular picture? It wasn't hidden. Now, for many here, there was a time when you virtually worshiped God nonstop, and people around you could see God in you. But perhaps over the course of years, that has diminished, and God isn't so visible anymore. But God wants to restore that to your heart. He wants to restore that. God promises to restore David's fallen tent and give us hearts after him. He promises to restore unity to his people and build his kingdom. He wants us to grow and be filled with the Spirit and let his glory shine through us. God says, I will restore. But then God also says, I will raise up its ruins. The ruins. Now, when I think of ruins, two images come to mind. The first one is ancient cities, like the Mayans left behind in South America, the ruins, okay? It was once a great civilization, but now there are only remnants left, okay? In the church, there have been great movements and great outpourings of the Spirit at various times in history, but now there are only ruins and old memories. But God wants to raise up those old ruins, and he promises more great outpourings. And I believe in our near future, God has that in mind. Now, the other thing that comes to my mind about ruins has to do with home maintenance. Okay. If you own a home, there's always something to take care of. I had a friend a long time ago, long before I ever bought a house, said, if you buy a house, you'll have something to do every weekend. And boy, that's pretty close to true. There's always something. And if you don't pay attention and maintain those things in your home, pretty soon things are going to start falling apart, and there can be a ruin in your yard instead of a house. You understand? And for some, there are things that have been neglected, and your spiritual life is falling apart. And God wants to raise that up. And God says, I will repair its broken places. For some, the enemy has gotten the upper hand, and you feel broken. For others, there's simply the wear and tear of life in a fallen world. But God promises to repair. He's not going to leave you broken. And God says, I will rebuild it as it used to be. And we've talked often about that first love that many believers have lost. Revelation 2:4, God says, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. And for many believers, that's a very true statement. We once were on fire for God and only thought about God and only talked about God, but now things have dwindled some. God wants that first love restored and rebuilt, and he promises to take the initiative to make it happen. Okay? This is God's promise to us. He wants to restore. And then in verse 14, God promises to reestablish. He says, I will bring back my exiled people. I will plant Israel in their own land. And for some, your walk with God has diminished so much that it feels as though you have been exiled. You pray and you wonder where God is. You feel rejected or that you've been put on the back burner because things haven't been going the way God had spoke to you in the earlier years. But God promises to bring his people back. He promises to plant in such a way that there will be no more uprooting. These are God's promises. For many, the spiritual life has been dull and dry. You've been divided from other believers. Your spiritual temple, so to speak, is dilapidated. Life has caused you to feel disappointed and discouraged. Your life is in disarray. The enemy has brought destruction, and you've been delayed or feel discarded or perhaps disconnected from God. But take heart. God promises to restore and raise up, repair, rebuild, and reestablish. That is God's word. It's his promise. Now let's take it a step further and talk about the end product. In verse 13, God says, the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman, the planter by the one treading grapes. Now, if you understand the imagery here, both of those are depicting great abundance. That's really the picture there. Normally, there's a gap between sowing and reaping. And then normally, there's a gap after reaping before you sow again. Right? That's the normal way of things. But God is saying there's going to be so much going on that the plowman is going to catch up with the reaper. In other words, there's going to be so much harvest to take in that it's going to take you so long to gather all the harvest that it'll be time to plant again before you're done. You get the picture? That's what God is saying. Abundance. God's vision is for productivity and plenty. That's God's plan for his people. He doesn't want us to be in scarcity and limited supply. He wants abundance for his people. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Those are the words of Jesus. He's the smartest of all dudes. Hannah told us that. He knows what he's talking about. That's his plan. It's part of his restoration plan. Remember the whole working the crops and all of that by the sweat of your brow. That was part of the curse. God's original plan was for us to be productive and to experience abundance. And he promises to restore that to his people. That is God's plan. Okay? Then he says, new wine will drip from the mountains. Same kind of picture. It speaks of God's blessings, abundance. It's going to be so much, it's just going to be flowing. Now, new wine is a reference to the filling and the capability of the Holy Spirit for us to apply this today. In Ephesians 5:18, it makes that contrast. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And so the new wine is a picture of the Spirit. And there's going to be so much outpouring of the Spirit that it's going to be like flowing down the mountains. That's God's plan. New wine is also a reference to celebration. In the Old Testament, when they were treading the wine, it was accompanied by shouts of joy. And then wine was part of any celebration. New wine also refers to cleansing. Wine is used in communion as a symbol of Christ's blood, which has supernatural power to cleanse us. And finally, new wine is a reference to crop. It's associated with the harvest. You harvest the grapes and then you make wine. New wine. And God is promising these things to his people. He promises new wine in the Spirit. Now for many, your spiritual life has been depleted. And you've allowed yourself to become dirty, unclean spiritually. Perhaps it seemed like a long season of drought and life has become dull and dreary. But take heart, God promises productivity and plenty. He will cleanse us and give us increased capability to bring in a crop that leads to celebration. And he will pour out his Spirit once again. That is God's promise. That is the picture that God wants us to see. He has so much more in store for us than we have yet seen. I wish that would grab your heart a little more. God has a grand vision for his people, and we don't always grasp it. Now, the last thing is our part. Okay, God made some promises. He's painted a pretty good picture of the end product, but what's our part in this? Verse 14, they will rebuild. Now, that's interesting because in verse 11, we started with God saying, I will rebuild. And now in verse 14, he says, they will rebuild. To me, it's just another example of how God wants to partner with people. He always wants to partner with people. We will rebuild together with God. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, God says, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap. That is God's vision. He's looking for people that he can partner with. He has great plans and great promises, but he doesn't want to just blast us with his stuff. He wants us to partner with him to accomplish all those things. That's God's plan. And so he's looking around. Is there somebody out there I can use? Is there somebody out there that'll partner with me? That's God's plan. And he says they will rebuild the ruined cities. Those things that once were great in our spiritual lives need to be revitalized. And so let's do our part in this restoration. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, I already quoted how some have lost their first love. And then in verse 5, God says, remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and redo the things you did at first. I know we've talked about this, but it's something we need to be frequently reminded of. Remember when you were walking wholeheartedly with God? Remember those good old days? Do the kinds of things you were doing then. Rebuild. Some of you used to come right up here to the front when we were having our praise and worship music because you were fired up about the things of God, and so you weren't content to just sit back in the back. You came up to the front. You haven't been doing that for a while. Maybe you need to do that again. Do what you used to do. Some of you used to hang around and pray for a while after church because you wanted to connect with God. But now, you can't wait to get out the back door because you got something else to go to. Maybe it's time to go back to the things that you used to do and linger and spend a little time with God. Some of you used to read your Bible like it was going out of style because you were so hungry to hear from the Lord. And now you need to dust it off because you haven't picked it up in a while. Let's go back and do the things we used to do when we were on fire for God. We could go on for a while. But I have a hunch that the Holy Spirit's already speaking to your heart about something that has changed in your walk with the Lord. And I think God is saying, remember. Remember that? Let's go back to that. And I'm not talking about going back to old traditions. I'm just talking about getting our heart back. And sometimes you got to take some actions first, and then the heart kind of comes along with it. You know what I'm talking about? Husbands and wives, sometimes the relationship gets a little tough, and you're not feeling it. But you go ahead and do the loving thing, and then your heart starts to come along with you. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. Okay. And it's the same in the kingdom. Sometimes I know what it is to not feel it. But sometimes you just need to do what you would do if you were feeling it, and then you'll feel it. They will plant vineyards, the Lord says. To me, that speaks of evangelism. Because the scriptures refer to God's people as his vineyard. God's people are his vineyard. And so if he wants us to plant vineyards, that means we have to sow seeds of evangelism so there'll be more people of God. Okay? It's planting. And that's always been part of God's call for his people to share the good news. That's our part. Share the good news. And then he says, and they will drink their wine. There will be fruitful results from evangelistic efforts. God doesn't leave that unnoticed. I know you may have witnessed to your coworker 100 times, and they're still not saved. But God is keeping count. God keeps very thorough records. They will not go unnoticed. God knows. and they will make gardens and eat their fruit. That represents diligence and careful work. Have you ever kept a garden before? Yeah. You got to be out there every little bit because it's hard work. But if you keep after it, there's a great crop. And so I say perform the work of ministry and keep doing good for God's kingdom. Galatians chapter 6, 9 and 10 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. And so I say, don't give up. Persevere. Persevere in your walk with God. Don't quit. There's a story about a man, toolbox in hand, who rang the doorbell. Good morning, man. I'm the plumber. I've come to fix the pipe. But I didn't call a plumber. You didn't? Aren't you Mrs. Foster? No, she moved away a year ago. Well, how do you like that? They call for a plumber claiming it's an emergency, and then they move away. And sometimes it seems as if God responds to our emergencies just like that. Or sometimes it seems like God's promises are just like that. We've heard the promise, and yet we're not seeing the results yet. But sometimes we have to wait for the fulfillment. And God says, don't give up. Persevere. God's promises always come true. 100% of the time. I'm pretty good at keeping my promises, but it ain't 100% of the time. I'm sorry. God is 100% of the time. Abraham had to wait 25 years after God's promise for Isaac to be born. But Isaac was born. There were hundreds of years between the prophecies and the birth of Christ. But guess what? Christ was born. There were centuries between the promises and the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. But guess what? There's a nation of Israel today. God promised it, and it came to be. Church, there are some things that God has spoken to my heart that have yet to be fulfilled. I've received some promises from God that I have not seen the full realization of yet. And it can be frustrating. I'll be the first one to admit it. There have been times in my prayer, I'm like, God, I know you spoke these promises. Where's it at? I know that feeling. Been there. But I try to remember that God's promises never fail. They always come through. And so our part is pretty simple. Partner with God to rebuild. Do what you did at first when you are on fire for God. Plant seeds and evangelize to build God's kingdom. Do the work of ministry. God does the heavy lifting. We simply partner with Him. There's an old Western comedy where two brothers get into a fight with a room full of men. The older, bigger of the two brothers said, you better take your fair share this time. So the younger brother fights and defeats one guy and leaves all the rest to his larger counterpart. It's a humorous way to show the strength of the older brother. I mean, that in their economy, that really was the fair share because he was so much stronger than the younger brother that he took them all on. That's a funny illustration, but it's an apt illustration of our partnership with God. Our fair share is so tiny compared to His. He does the heavy lifting. He does the hardest work. And church, even the little part that he asks us to do, he empowers us to do it. What a deal. I'm having trouble with my mic today. It keeps wanting to wiggle off my ear. I've never heard of such a great partnership in any other aspect of life. Nowhere. Usually it's 50-50 or, you know, 40-60 or something. But with God, it's really 100% and you just be willing. That's really it. God does it all. All we have to do is say, okay. Now, sometimes we are tempted to discard God's promises and we begin to despair and even despise God's word for us. And for some, the temptation may even reach the level of denying the faith. But let's hold on to those promises and trust God. I want you to be encouraged today. The best is yet to come. God has great plans in store for us. Going to restore and rebuild. He promises a great cleansing and celebration. And so let's partner with God and plant seeds for the kingdom. Let's keep on performing the work of ministry and persevere in our walk with God. So hear the word of the Lord today. God is not done with us yet. God is not done with you yet. He still has a plan for your life. And what does Jeremiah 29 verse 11 tell us? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. He has a hope and a future for his people. So I want you to embrace this word of the Lord today and let it sink into your heart. God's promises to you will not fail. I know, as I look across the room, I know various individuals have had the Lord speak into their life, and you maybe are still waiting for the fulfillment of what he's spoken. God's promises never fail. I also believe that God has spoken to Open Bible Church. As a congregation, he has made some promises to us, and those of us who have been around for a while could say, well, they haven't all come to be yet. But God's promises never fail. Let's keep on believing. Let's keep on trusting God. Let's keep plugging away, and God will fulfill his word. Promises never fail. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your promises. Lord, I thank you for the reminder this week and how even as I was putting this message together, you dropped little hints along the way. But yep, I haven't forgot my promises. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Help us, Lord, to embrace your word and keep on believing what you have told us, to not give up, but keep pressing forward. Keep on persevering and following you. Lord, we will partner with you. We say yes to you. Whatever you need us to do, whatever you want us to do to participate in your plan, we say yes. Lord, where we've been lacking in faith, we say, Lord, increase our faith. Forgive our unbelief and increase our faith. Lord, we look forward to the day of the fulfillment of your promises. Lord, I pray for every individual in the room here this morning. I know there are a number of people who have been waiting for a long time for the fulfillment of a word they've received from you. God, I pray that they would be encouraged today, that they would sense your Holy Spirit stirring afresh in their life, that those promises will come to pass. Strengthen us, Lord. And Lord, we surrender ourselves to you. Whatever your plan is, however you want to go about it, we surrender and we say, we're going your way, God. We will not insist on our way. We'll follow you. Give us grace in the days ahead. Continue to pour your Spirit on us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Naomi and I are going to be here in the front. Maybe if a couple others could join us. If any of you would like special prayer, whatever the case may be, it can be whatever. We'll meet you here at the front. Otherwise, you're free to go. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.